We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So today is 7/7/17.
Yes.
I actually remember, I'm showing my age here, I actually remember 7/7/77.
I was 7 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just
that's
about.
That's good. Seven.
Well,
so
six
you
and
had
a half.
Another seven.
6.5 months.
Oh, I would have been nine, I think.
I remember 9/9/99.
Yeah, I remember 7/7/77 people making a big deal about it. And
11/11/11.
40 years later.
Wow. 40 years later.
How about that? Welcome into the huddle on Friday afternoon on ESPN Upstates. The very old feeling Greg McKinney along with J.C. Sherbert and Lonzo here for a wide open Friday discussion of the sports news of the day today. Coming up today, interesting tweet of the day courtesy of the Carolina Panthers that you guys can try to help me figure out because it's different. News,
it's different, huh?
Yeah, news on Matt Kenseth, and he's looking for a ride, the NASCAR driver, some news on him. NBA news, there's some of that today. I think we're getting to the end of the NBA crush with free agency news, but a little more news coming out today.
It's been interesting.
It has.
I mean, it. You know, again, credit. This is maybe it's because we talk. I'm on this show every day now, and we talk about it. But the NBA offseason's been more interesting to me than at any other point because there's just so much activity and
yep.
And the whole. There's one overriding question: who's going to catch the Warriors, and right. To a lesser extent, who's going to catch the Cavs in the East?
Well, people making moves because of that very thing. They're a little more aggressive, so that has made it interesting. Hot takes and sausage at 2:20 this afternoon. Previewing NFL, we will look today at the AFC South, Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Take a look at that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. There's a little bit of news on Mitch Trubisky, or Mitchell, if you prefer.
Oh, Mitchell.
That we will pass along as well.
He's not as good as Deshaun Watson.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And we will update the Dak Prescott autograph scandal for you today. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 844-477-3776, on the text line at 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. Use the keyword ESPN. And on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Let me start with a couple of Gamecock notes today. First of all, the cause of death for Max Runiger has been released, the great punter for South Carolina and for the Philadelphia Eagles and San Francisco 49ers. The report is that he died from a blood clot stemming from a recent injury, according to autopsy results. Mm. Sean Fogle is the coroner in Orangeburg County. He told the Times and Democrat, who's been all over this story, that Runiger's injury, a fractured fibula, happened at his home when Max tried to get up from a chair using a walker.
Mm.
Now, he had fallen from his parents' roof in December. I mentioned this when we learned of his death. And cracked a vertebrae, so that's why he was trying to use a walker, I take it. And he apparently refused to have that injury treated. So that was a mistake. Max Runiger's father said he was NFL tough and refused to talk about injuries. He was found dead Friday in a parking lot in South Carolina. 61 years old. Spent 5 seasons with the Eagles, part of the team that went to the Super Bowl in 1980. He was the punter on the 49ers' 1984 Super Bowl winning team. In fact, he was on a 15-1 San Francisco team. Beat Miami for the title.
Mm.
4 seasons for San Francisco, came back for 1 game in 1988, also 4 seasons for Cleveland. Finished his career with 661 career NFL punts, averaged over 40 yards a punt.
Honestly, one of the more accomplished pros to ever play at South Carolina.
No question.
I mean, he's a punter. I mean, but as far as their kickers go, Ryan Succop as a place kicker and Max Runiger as a punter, that'd probably be on the all-time Gamecock NFL team.
Yeah.
I would guess.
And the lesson is that, and I've learned this myself, is to try to stay off of roofs as you get older because, man, it does not serve you well to fall off of a roof, and that started his problems. And then seek treatment when you have a cracked vertebrae. And he didn't do that, and then a blood clot took his life. So unfortunate news there. But wanted to give you that update on Roniger because that just came out. JC, the other Gamecock news wanted to talk about a little bit with you. You've been following Gamecock recruiting and a commitment that happened yesterday for, I guess, Tennessee that has some South Carolina fans a little concerned.
Yeah, Dorian Gerald, you know, from, I think, College of the Canyons in California. He's a Florence native, committed to Tennessee. My understanding is Tennessee's also interested in his younger brother, who's also going to junior college this next year. He'll be a 2019 kid. That kind of put them over the top. And you know, Gamecock fans, they've struck out. I mean, if you think about it, Xavier Thomas, Josh Belk, Stephon Wynn, and now Dorian Gerald. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, and, you know, they need help rushing the passer. That was a weakness last year. So if you have a weakness from last year's season that's supposed to be a weakness for this year's season, and you're striking out on recruits that could potentially help you there, that unsettles the fan base a little bit. And so with that being said, Gamecock fans were a little up in arms about it. I think that when you look at Josh Belk and Xavier Thomas, you know, those two kids went to Clemson. The fact of the matter is, Gamecock fans don't want to hear this, but the fact of the matter is Clemson won the national championship. They played for it the year before. They're 38-5 over the past 3 years. South Carolina 16-22 and went through a coaching transition. They just opened a state-of-the-art facility that's as unique as any in college football and probably as nice as any in college football that has all the bells and whistles. They have a coach that's been there for 8 years. Everybody on their staff, including their head coach, can definitely recruit. And that's the case at South Carolina now, too. Don't get me wrong. These guys can recruit. But they know what they're doing. And Clemson, you know, if it were reversed, you know, and Clemson was 16-22 and South Carolina had had the success, I would think South Carolina – it would be a different story. You know, I think the Gamecocks would get their share. I mean, there was a while there where South Carolina, you know, got just about everybody it wanted yep. within the state, right. you know, and Clemson at that point was winning 10 games a year. So, right. you know, it goes back and forth. And sometimes you got to be realistic about it and say that, you know, right now the product is not where, you know, anybody can go in there and sell it and beat Clemson. You know, I mean, it's going to take a big deal.
But you lost this guy to Tennessee. You don't like that.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Okay, and then we go from there to Stephon Wynn. Well, his dad went to Clemson. He's from Anderson. Alabama comes calling. He's a 3-4 defensive end. You look at Jonathan Allen and how high he got drafted. You look at all those guys they've had over the years there. It's Alabama. Alabama has also played for the last two national yep. championships and won one of them. And they're preseason number one this year. It's Alabama. Plus, you throw in the fact that his dad went to Clemson, and maybe he just doesn't feel like going to the arch rival. That's something that you have to consider there. So get to Dorian Gerald, though, and I think that's a red flag. Dorian Gerald's a junior college player. Junior college players, with regards to the University of South Carolina, the Gamecocks need to go try to sign as many of those guys as they can that are from the state that are worthy because Clemson doesn't take JUCOs. So you have an advantage there. So that's that. He's in the category of player you need to get. He's from Florence. He's been out in California, wants to get home. And you lose him to a division rival that your head coach is 5-0 against all time. Now, Tennessee's program's in better shape than South Carolina's right now. There's no doubt about it. Gamecocks beat him last year. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to win that battle, in my opinion. And that, to me, would be a red flag and a reason for some concern. Now, one player you don't get overly concerned about. And I think that if you consider what happened with the other three, you know, you don't need to panic. But I do think that's a concern because there's a guy that could have come in and helped you. You know, if you want me to say something that may be positive, look at the junior college defensive linemen that have been ranked highly that have signed with places. Ndamukong Suh is one that worked out. He went to Nebraska. The other kid that went to Nebraska that had the drug issues – that I went to see at Arizona Western. He worked out and was drafted by the Cowboys, I think. The rest of them, Markavius Lewis, he was the top JUCO. Did he get drafted? No. Mm-mm. Jonathan Kongbo, who went to Tennessee last year, was the top JUCO. They tried to get him to move inside. He wouldn't. You know, there's just a lot of guys out there that unless they're bounce backs at defensive line in the junior college level that don't necessarily pan out. And I would have said that had Gerald committed to South Carolina. So there's not a lot of need for panic. At the same time, I do understand the concern with the Gamecocks and think that, you know, Will Muschamp and his staff, they have to start getting guys that can, you know, come in and develop on the defensive line at the very least. And I'll say this, too. I threw out these names on thebigspur.com today, and nobody wants to acknowledge this, but for a fan base that's sort of got his eyes up there on Clemson, Vic Beasley, Kevin Dodd, Grady Jarrett, I mean, those guys had maybe seven stars between them and not a lot of offers. And that was the key for Clemson when they started upgrading the line of scrimmage. You think about that 2014 Clemson team, Greg, that was number one in the country in total defense. You know, those were the guys that were leading the charge up front. And that's been the fundamental difference in their program going from a 9-10 win ACC contender to the class of the ACC and a national championship contender is what they've done on both lines of scrimmage. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, you have to kind of look at some of the guys now that you're past the no-brainers and get it rolling.
So. Well, recruiting seems to have been upgraded overall at South Carolina. Is there an issue with defensive line recruiting? Is there an issue?
I think it's fair to say that because they've struck out on some top guys. I think it's especially fair to say that right now. You know, but at the same time, Dennis Wanham, DJ Wanham, very promising defensive lineman. You know, Aaron Thompson's a kid that redshirted last year that I think's got some potential. You know, Kobe Smith, Kier Thomas, and Wanham, all three played as true freshmen last year. They're developing. You need more than that. And they got two JUCO tackles coming in. But, you know, all is not lost. And I also know that, you know, Shamik Blackshear is a guy that still got a lot of potential. He just hadn't played a lot of football, and they could still get it out of him. I mean, he's kind of, from what I've heard during this offseason, he's kind of turned the corner work ethic-wise and kind of understands what he needs to do now, and that's a kid that had, you know, high-end talent that was a no-brainer recruit out of Bluffton. So all is not lost. I do think that South Carolina, when you're looking at where their recruiting is at right now, and the fact that they're good at making relationships, they're good at getting in the game with guys, they're good at coming in on that final two, it's just a tough sell for them to pull the trigger. And you have to understand this, too. All these kids for the 2018 class made unofficial visits last year to South Carolina for games. There was one game where the atmosphere at Williams-Brice Stadium was as it normally is. That was Tennessee on Halloween weekend.
Yep.
They did have a group there. But other than that, you had disappointing crowds for day games. And then you had a night game with Georgia that could have been a great atmosphere. They got moved to a Sunday because of a hurricane. So the staff basically had one opportunity to say, hey, here's what you can come play with. Meanwhile, Georgia's filling up the stadium. Alabama's got a big crowd all the time. Yeah, it's Tuscaloosa. Clemson certainly was an amazing environment last year. And I don't think people quite understand that's kind of an optic. You know, but it's one that South Carolina historically has sold.
Mm-hmm.
The place is filled up. There's, you know, a loud crowd. This place will get crazy. And there just, for whatever reason, wasn't the opportunity to do that last year. And I'm not blaming the fans. You know, if there was one game where I think the fans could have showed up a little more, it's that Missouri game because it was important for bowl eligibility, and it was a 4 o'clock kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is a lot of people just stayed in the parking lot for that one. But, you know, so I'm not blaming the fans. I just think that there'll be more opportunities this year for a great atmosphere at Williams-Brice and for them to make – it's important now for them to make progress on the field this year rolling into the 2019 class. And then also for any of those guys that they were close with that may have second thoughts about committing to wherever – to see that there is progress being made because the product just isn't there when you compare it to Clemson and Alabama, you know, and even Tennessee, which has had big-time atmospheres and more success. Butch Jones is further along than Will Muschamp, even with last year's win, you know, in building his program.
Quick note on baseball recruiting for South Carolina. Matt Connelly talked to some of the commitments, several of them for class of 2018, after this coaching change, because they were in the Atlanta area for a national championship playing in this WWBA event, and kind of updated with them how they feel about Mark Kingston coming in as the coach and replacing Chad Holbrook. And all in all, looks good. Looks like these guys are, to a person, planning to stay with the Gamecocks. So, you know, doesn't look like the damage will be great. They did lose the one player from Spartanburg Methodist to Clemson.
To Clemson, but I don't know that it's, you know.
But these guys, all these other guys that Matt talked to said that they hear great things about Kingston. And at least for now, they're sticking it out and you know, haven't all met with him and talked to him in detail, in depth. And they'll do some more of that. But it doesn't look like there's going to be much bleeding from the coaching change from that recruiting class for South Carolina, according to the guys that Matt talked to.
So yeah, 2018 class is, you know, they hadn't 2017, the incoming class is coming in. Their problem is going to be that they need numbers, or they have numbers issues. 11.7 scholarships in college baseball, which is a joke, but that you have to manage the numbers. And my understanding is they're over a little bit. Mm. I would not be surprised to see some attrition take place, either with guys that already signed with the 2017 class or guys that are, you know, already on the roster. So I don't think that'll be a big surprise at all. But, you know, Mark Kingston's known as a recruiter. It's not surprising to me that he's come in and kind of solidified things, especially when you consider the class. They don't sign until the fall. It's not like football. Mm-hmm. You know, when Urban Meyer got to Florida, he lost a lot of the Zook class just because he stayed at Utah through January. And then there's basically 2-3 weeks to get it together. Signed a smaller class that did have some players in it. But basically won the national title in 06 with Zook's recruits and some of his own. So, you know, it's different in baseball. You got the whole summer, then they don't sign until the early period in the fall. So if you're the Gamecocks, as far as recruiting goes so far in baseball, you're feeling pretty doggone good right now.
In Atlanta at this event, not only was Kingston there, but Mike Current, who you brought up from South Florida, was there, and Jerry Myers, who he retained, the pitching coach. So they're working it pretty hard down there to try to keep everybody in place, and seems to be so far so good.
Yeah, Kingston's a relentless recruiter. I mean, Holbrook was very good as well, but, you know, I get back to that Zook versus Meyer thing, and a lot of people have told me that was a pretty good analogy. Both were great recruiters. The Zooker was fabulous at recruiting, but Urban was kind of relentless and took it to the next level and has certainly proven that. And I think that's kind of the dynamic you're going to see when you compare the two, Kingston versus Holbrook.
Want to get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Back in a moment, the Friday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. It's the Huddle Friday afternoon, ESPN Upstate. You guys missed the cookout today.
No, I didn't.
You went down and ate?
No, I had someone bring me my food into the Magic Studios.
I know what you did.
I had someone bring me my food.
Your secretary bring it up.
I ate 2.5 hamburger patties.
Did you really?
They were delicious. Yeah, and some slaw.
It doesn't fall within where my meal plan is, and it was at the wrong time, and I am very, very disciplined, and so I did not go down there, and I don't want to talk to anybody, and I don't have someone to bring the food to me.
I never go like down when there's a meal down there. I would never eat down there.
You antisocial.
I'd rather just
here's
not
a, here's
eat.
The thing.
I sat amongst the salespeople and enjoyed it.
Did you? How many of them did you know?
Did you enjoy it though, Greg?
I know pretty much all of them.
Did you
I
enjoy
enjoyed it
until
they started talking about Big Brother. And I was done.
So the pop culture references, you're out of there.
I don't know about that. I don't watch Big Brother.
Yeah,
so
neither do
mean
I.
Nothing to
so
me.
I would have left too. I'd have probably left before that. There's a lot of cackling and funny stuff that goes on.
See, I go down there and they look at me funny, like, "Who are you?"
Well, that's because you're.
Yeah, it's my hair.
You're you.
Yeah, and it's my hair, and it's the constant scowl. And
because you don't get along with people.
I don't. I'm
that's
antisocial.
Why.
I'm an angry person, and people don't like me.
Well, those good fine. Burgers. Zach cooked the burgers. Zach, good job.
I got to tell you, they smell really good up here. It's a great move, moving all the food inside. Thanks a lot for that.
Well, it was too hot outside. That's why they brought it
wimps.
Up. Too hot.
A cookout should be outside.
It was a cook-in.
It's okay, whatever. Everybody downstairs is wimps. It should have been outside. The food should have been outside. You should have been eating outside.
I think I know why they don't like you now.
Yeah, me too.
If it would have been outside, I still wouldn't have went down there, but I'd have a little more respect for you.
Dak Prescott has been accused, as we have told you, of using a machine to sign his autograph instead of signing by hand. Here's the latest update on that from Business Insider. This could be a big deal for Dak Prescott. We'll see. Darren Revelle of ESPN talks about this.
Then gave it to Beckett Grading Services to grade these cards to say, okay, let's put these in cases and say this is an authentic Dak Prescott autograph. Unfortunately, the folks at Beckett then came in and said, well, we're going to refuse these because we don't think these are real. We think that these were done by a machine. We think these were done by essentially auto pen, and Dak didn't really sign these. So they rejected them, and that started this whole controversy back to Panini, the company that asked him to sign them. What happened here? And we have, 24 hours later, gotten no response from Panini, the card company. We've gotten no response from Dak Prescott, nor his marketing agent or his regular agent, as to what happened. All we know is Panini sent the cards. They got the cards back. The people who got these cards sent their signed cards in, and the people who authenticate the autographs said these autographs are no good. So obviously, this is a shot at the industry, and until we hear from Dak and Panini, we kind of don't know what's going on here.
Let me break this down. Is the finger pointed specifically at Dak, or could someone else be at fault here if indeed these charges are true?
Well, the way it works is they send the marketing agent the cards. The marketing agent then, presumably, has the player sign them. Now, could it be possible that the marketing agent or some agent got these cards, used the auto pen, thought it was a good idea, and then sent it back? Yeah, possibly, but Panini, the card company, in each time they get a shipment, they put in that shipment a paper that is essentially an affidavit saying, I, Dak Prescott, signed these, and then it is witnessed. So, again, somehow it falls under Dak here, but I guess we can say there's a possibility that maybe he had no idea about this. But Beckett Grading Services, they have put their name on the line to say, we do believe these are indeed faked. They are done by a machine. They are not done by hand. And so at least, listen, those guys do this for a business, and they're willing to say they're not real. And until we hear from Dak or his agents, we really don't know what the story is. But again, it's a shot at the memorabilia industry.
Real quickly, what kind of trouble could Dak Prescott get in over this?
Well, who knows? I mean, the idea that there's an affidavit signed, and again, if you assume that these are not real, this constitutes fraud. I mean, you're saying you signed these, presumably, and then you potentially didn't. So, I mean, this could go up to kind of a criminal level. It does constitute fraud if you say you did something and you essentially didn't. But I think there's a couple more details that are going to have to be filled in here. And right now, we're just relying on the parties involved to share what they know about the situation.
And, of course, the problem is nobody's talking. Nobody's returning calls. Everybody's kind of ducking for cover.
What are the consequences of fraud? And
fraud's crime.
Does each forged signature, I guess technically what it is each one a separate crime? Or is it bulked in? No, I'm serious.
So it's 10,000 counts of fraud.
No, I'm curious about that because each one is fraud, right?
Yeah. Well,
each separate one.
I don't know if they do it that way or not.
Look, man. Look, it's his signature. I mean, have they come out? I mean, so one company says it's not real. The other company says they validated it. I mean, it sounds like a business. One company should sue the other. And this is not, I don't think this is a criminal type of activity just yet, unless people paid money for the signatures. And
I expect they did. No, you.
Well, it never got past that. Right?
It never got to that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the company that says they're not real is the company that evaluates them. You know?
Yeah, but they evaluate them before they go up for sale.
Individual.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But they're saying they're not real. So, I mean, you say it's one word against another.
And Darren Rovell stirs the pot more than any other person.
Now, you're going to blame Darren for this.
Okay? No, I'm not blaming him for anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I mean, you know.
It's Ravel's fault. He stirred it up. Darren. What are you doing, man?
It's a good thing a pot is never stirred on this show.
No, never. No, never. I don't know. I mean, signing an affidavit saying they're real is probably not a good idea. If they weren't real. Probably not a good idea.
But even he was saying there's a possibility that Dak didn't know this happened.
Possible.
I mean, but that doesn't, if there is some law broken, that doesn't, you know, that change things.
No. No.
It would clear him except if he signed the affidavit, and if he signed the affidavit, then he's liable.
Yeah, would you sign an affidavit whether if you?
That's the thing.
You know whether you signed all these cards or not.
Yeah. I would just go and say, "All right, I will sit here in front of you and sign the cards. Deal, deal. Sign the card. Take an hour. Get on your private jet. Get Jerry Jones to fly you out there and rock and roll."
Well, that's right. You got to do it. I mean, look,
let's do it.
As far as the affidavit goes, is this possibly your guy throwing a bunch of stuff in front of you? Here, sign this, sign this, sign this, and you're just trusting your guy and just not even reading what it is.
Maybe you shouldn't trust that guy.
No, you shouldn't. But still, I mean, a lot of people do that.
So a lesson will be learned.
Don't forget that O.J. Simpson went to prison over memorabilia.
That's right. I mean, people, you know, dismiss this as no big deal, but it is a big deal.
I don't think it can be a big deal. You know,
it may not be yet, but.
Is suddenly Dak Prescott a bad guy? He's a villain.
He's OJ.
He should be, you know.
Dak is OJ now.
He should be kicked out of the league.
I'm sorry, you're out of the league. For what?
I don't know.
I mean, look, the memorabilia business is ridiculous anyway. Yeah. Signatures and stuff like that. There are people that stalk players for it. And, you know, once it's done, it's ruined college players signing for little kids.
Yeah, they won't do it anymore.
You know, I had to jump. I got a gift one time for a person. A Steve Spurrier signed football and a Ray Tanner signed baseball. And then a couple of years later, I jumped through a lot of hoops to get a Nick Saban signed football.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. But the thing is, they're not going to sign them unless they personalize it. But it's like, "Dear JC," blah, 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 blah. Just because if they just sign it, then somebody's going to put it on eBay and auction it off.
Mm-hmm. And sell it, yeah.
And it's not fair to make money off somebody else's name.
I think that's right.
Un-American.
I think I'd just like to hear an answer from Dak or his representatives on what happened here.
Yeah, they're just not commenting.
Maybe they're lawyering up and preparing.
The longer they go without saying anything, the more suspicious I get. That's all I'm saying. Right?
No.
Is that not fair?
Come on, man. We're talking about signatures here.
Yes, we are.
His signature.
Yes, we are.
I agree with you, Greg. The longer it takes for a response, the more you think that something's bad.
I don't think they owe anybody a dang thing.
Really? Fake signatures?
Look, it's Friday. Fine. It's Friday. It's a holiday week. Dak Prescott's probably sitting on a beach somewhere. Give the man a chance to get back to the world. I mean, half the country is off this week. So, you know, come on.
That could be that.
Give him a chance.
I'll give him till Monday.
Give him till Monday, Greg.
I want answers.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tweet at him like, "McKinney says you have till Monday."
Monday, 4 o'clock.
I was going to say, is there a certain time?
4 o'clock into the huddle.
Into the huddle. So, Dak, if you're listening, and I know you are.
That's how long.
You have until 4 o'clock at the end of the huddle to get back to us.
Break time. Back with more if you want to get in. 844-477-3776. This is The Huddle with G-Mac, JC, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Download the ESPN Upstate app from your app store. You can listen live wherever you go on your smartphone. You can get access to blogs and podcasts and breaking sports news and just all kinds of good stuff. The streaming feature is really nice. That works so quickly and very well. So check it out. ESPN Upstate app. Just do a search on your app store, whatever that may be, and you will see it. Download it and join us.
I downloaded it last night, GMAC. I've been meaning to do it and did it last night. Good stuff on that app.
Yeah, it is. It is. And more people are doing that. All right, let's get to the tweet of the day right now in the huddle. So the tweet of the day today is actually a series of tweets over the past 3 days by your Carolina Panthers Twitter feed. You're going to have to bear with me on this. Because I saw this tweet 2 hours ago that says, "Now, go back and read the first word of our tweets from the last 3 days." Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It works for a very long time, and then it falls apart at the end. So tell me what this means. All right, so this is the first word of each tweet, starting 2 hours ago and working backwards. "This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down."
Oh,
"And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there I'll tell. Wait a minute. I'll tell. I got lost. Here it is. I'll tell. Got lost again. This is hard to scroll on. Let me get back to it. A story. Is this ringing a bell?
We could just sing the song for you if
it's
you want.
Fresh Prince
it's
of Bel-Air.
Yeah, it's the theme
that's
from Fresh
it.
Prince.
All right.
Knew
that's
that within the first two words.
Well,
didn't, like
they don't
that.
Finish it, though. Take a minute. Just sit right there. I'll.
Sounds like a heck of a troll move to
tell
get people to.
You
that's
how
awesome.
I became the prince of a
town.
Town. Okay, still working so far, right?
So far.
Called Random.
Should be Bel Air.
I think we lost it right
no,
there.
No, no, they left it open.
So that's
on purpose.
Where you end it? A town called and you end it like that?
Yeah, you leave it open.
Is that what they do on the show?
No.
This may have been the most pointless exercise in social media.
You don't like it?
No, I don't.
They're getting
like
great.
It.
I think it's props for
everybody
it.
Loves it.
I think that's awesome. I really do. You got people to go back and actually, it's like those old decoder things back in the 50s or something that you've seen.
It's 3 days worth of tweets.
It's awesome. That's great.
But someone put the way it ended threw me off. Well, I knew it was from some. I figured it was
the fact that you didn't know.
I didn't watch that
disturbing.
Show.
You'd never watch a Fresh Prince.
I don't care about that show. No, zero interest.
JC, does this bother you? Don't you think that's kind of un-American not watching The Fresh Prince?
I love The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I mean, come on.
Don't get me wrong. It's a great sitcom. But on July 7th, 2017.
Irrelevant.
Why is the Carolina? Why not? We're moving on up to the east side. I mean, I
that one I got.
Now,
I
that's talk about dated. That's,
I would have gotten that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's nostalgic. That's Fresh Prince is
I beg
nostalgic
to differ.
Too.
Yeah, Fresh Prince is but now nostalgic.
Look, man,
you know how long ago that was?
I don't want to hear that. Greg feels old already. No need to make.
No, me. Listen. I know the show. I know. I just didn't watch it, so I didn't get the lyrics.
Didn't Uncle Phil die recently? Or am I mistaken with that?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I think he might have. If he did, it was probably last year during the year of death.
All right, so grading this tweet of the day. Lonzo loves it. JC hates it.
I mean, I don't hate it. I just...
How dare you have fun with your Twitter?
A journalist in Jacksonville that I know that used to work in Columbia call it savage on Twitter.
Whoa, that was savage.
Savage.
Sweet. Yeah, savage.
It's not savage.
I think it was the Hornets that gave him props for it. Their crosstown team, the Panthers.
I'm going to start using that word again.
Yeah, savage. Michael Jordan came in the office today and was like, using me to worry about. Yeah, because it puts a song in your head a little bit.
Not mine.
Yeah, definitely not his.
While that song was popular, Greg was kicking out Michael Bolton, celebrating his entire
playing
collection.
What he called real music.
I was doing something besides that.
Actually playing real music. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, JC was listening.
I mean, Will Smith is one of the great actors of our time.
Yeah.
And that song, Miami's kind of hot at times.
Now you're going to diss his clean rap.
But
because because he doesn't curse in his rap.
No, it's not
because
he doesn't cuss. I just didn't, I feel like he's a much better actor than he is a rapper. That's a poll question. Right?
Without the rapping, there would be no acting.
We'll put it on the poll.
Will Smith, better actor or rapper?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Got to take a break. 844-GSP-ESPN. The huddle rolls on from ESPN Upstate. With thanks to the Carolina Panthers. Oh, here we go. You should tell me you're going to do this. Thanks. A town called Random. That's the way the Panthers did it. That's the way they did it. The poll question is up on Twitter. The huddle poll today, thanks to the Carolina Panthers. Is Will Smith a better actor or rapper? At ESPN Upstate. On Twitter.
I'm going to go mass distribute this real quick because this is an important question.
It is. It's been one of the best we've ever had, probably.
I already voted.
Cool.
Did you vote rapper?
No.
Good. Don't do that.
I never said that. I just listen. His rapping was something you could listen around your parents and be okay.
I'm with you there, Lonzo.
Which is why he found a niche and was able to make so much money, because parents were okay.
But the
even though they didn't
of,
understand,
with the
they still were
of
okay.
One song, the Fat Boys were that way too.
I agree.
But they had one song. It rhymed with Please Smuts.
Run DMC got some play too, even though I think some Run people DMC didn't know exactly what they were talking about. But did you play any Run DMC back in the day, Greg?
No.
Okay.
Off the text line at 71307. Texter says, love the Fresh Prince music. That didn't take long. Another texter says, if Dak goes to jail, do we have a chance to see a real-life longest yard game? Yeah, that'd be a pretty good team with Dak at quarterback.
OJ can coach.
Team. Yeah.
Or did he get he's getting parole soon, though.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He's supposed to get out soon.
He might stick around for that.
Yeah.
Another text, how come ESPN fires entertaining talent like Danny Cannell? Sorry, got choked up. But keeps hacks like Mike Wise, who don't research their articles. So what did Mike Wise do to you people? Who did he make mad?
He made Florida State people mad.
What'd he say?
Because he talked about, I guess he referenced something that some person that said the Seminoles mascot hurts kids.
Did he really?
It's racial appropriation, cultural appropriation, okay. Something like that.
So Florida State fans hate Mike Wise.
Yeah, I mean, because Florida State took care of that, okay? They took care of it. And I don't personally don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I think that it could be – I think it's an honor to have your, you know, tribe
– saluted as
saluted
the
– yeah.
How did they
mascot.
Take care of it? They didn't change it.
And really, I think most Native Americans don't care. I think
well, that's the surveys in Washington have said
now,
they don't.
Now you want to get down to like what happened to the Native Americans and all that.
Right,
that's a different story. That's a different argument. I'm not saying they haven't been oppressed, but I don't think that that's a sign of oppression.
So listen to Mike Wise's Wikipedia article, and you know anybody can edit Wikipedia.
Somebody got in there and did it.
Yeah. Here's the way it opens. Mike Wise is an irrelevant senior writer for The Undefeated. A digital property of ESPN intersecting sports, race, and culture, and liberal bias. Staples and other office supply stores have refused selling Wise any pencils, notebooks, or other writing supplies to protect himself and stop the spread of bad journalism. I mean, that's... Is that funny?
I mean, he's like, you know, this guy tweeted... A post from freaking Pinterest, which is, I mean, don't get me started on a man tweeting something from Pinterest.
Yeah, because women go in there for recipes.
I mean, yeah, it's like, well, as soon as your cupcake recipe. But, you know, and it was like talking about race misappropriation and stuff. Cultural appropriation is a myth. Because we're in the United States of America, and all of us brought different cultures to the table. And it flies in the face of us trying to be a homogenous one society and be together. If you're going to talk about cultural appropriation all the time, if you're going to talk about why I shouldn't eat tacos because it's stealing or cook tacos because it's stealing somebody's culture, that's ridiculous. I eat tacos because they're delicious.
If made properly.
I eat Mugu Gai Pan because it's delicious. And there's a lot of folks that are first generation immigrants that come here from other countries that cook delicious Mugu Gai Pan and tacos for us. And make a lot of money doing it, and it's changed their lives. So talk to me about cultural appropriation.
So Mike Wise writes about that a lot.
Well, that's his whole point here with the Florida State Seminoles thing, and then he's just he's coming back and saying, oh well, just because 4,000 members of the Seminole tribe give you cover, it's fine, and blah 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 blah. I mean, this just takes it too far because, I mean, what do you want? Do you want us to be a melting pot where all cultures are celebrated and accepted, or do you want us all to just say, okay, I'm a white guy? So I can't ever do the tomahawk chop, or I can't ever eat tacos, or I can't go get some delicious General Tso's chicken.
Yes,
is it because that's what some of these idiots like Mike Wise are saying. I mean, this guy's a moron, and he keeps going on and on about it on Twitter. It's ridiculous.
On the other side, thank you, tribute to Mike Wise. We will get to some NBA news, hot takes, and sausage. Yes, there are going to be some hot takes coming up. Here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.